Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimery. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute recently erected storyboards next to each of the 12 totem poles that went up along Juneau's waterfront earlier this year. The signs explain the meaning and clan history behind each pole for visitors and those whose heritage they represent. On a quiet October day, with no cruise ships in port, Noah Booth stands looking at a sign right next to a kutia, or totem pole, on Juneau's waterfront. The sign breaks down what each of the carved formline figures are: a bear with curved teeth and large eyes, an eagle with a face painted in red on its back, a killer whale with a fish in its mouth, and at the top, a Kagwantan clan member.
I love these signs. More like educational. I tell you a little bit about like what the totems are all about.
Booth says he's been to Juneau before, but not since the kutia sprang up. He says he likes that cruise ship passengers can learn so much immediately after getting off the ships.
First thing you'd see pretty much would be like the totems and these signs and those ones.
This spring, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute installed 12 kutia along Juneau's waterfront. They were carved by Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian artists from clans across the region. The organization put up storyboards last week to educate visitors and protect the poles from mistreatment, says SHI's Ricardo Worrell. Each has a diagram of the kutia explaining what each symbol is and the story it tells. It also lists the artist, their clan, and clan stories.
These are objects that are sacred for Tlingit people, and we hope that the storyboards will help, people learn more about our history and how sacred these kutia are for us.
Early in the cruise season, pictures surfaced of tourists putting children in the large brass hands of the Shangu Kedi kutia. Community members were frustrated with these and other examples of people mistreating and touching the poles. Worrell says SHI discussed erecting barriers to prevent that kind of thing, but decided not to.
You know, we thought about that, putting verbiage on the storyboards, please don't touch, these are sacred objects. But the more we thought about it, the more we believe that everyone in this community has a responsibility to educate our visitors.
Worrell says mistreatment of the kutia likely stems from a lack of understanding what they mean to Alaska Native people. He says he wants non-Native residents and those in the tourism industry to speak up when people act inappropriately with the kutia.
For our visitors, this is an excellent opportunity to learn, that this is more than art.
The 12 poles are part of the Kutia Deye, or Totem Pole Trail. Eventually, SHI plans to install 30 poles along the docks, many representing clans. The kutia will give Indigenous people keys to understanding their identities, he said.
They tell our history. They tell clan stories. They make connections from our ancestors to our current generations. Our grandchildren will now be able to come and view the kutia and have, confirm their identity to their ancestors and to their crests.
Worrell says SHI has the funding to commission one more kutia and is seeking funding for 17 more. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimery. The Alaska Marine Highway's route to Prince Rupert, British Columbia, has languished in recent years as pandemic restrictions, fleet issues, and low staffing have prevented the route between Southeast and Canada from running regularly. And as KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, false information circulated on social media the first weekend in October, causing panic about the end of the route altogether.
The Alaska Department of Transportation, which oversees the Alaska Marine Highway, says the state ferry route to Prince Rupert, British Columbia, isn't going anywhere.
We haven't discontinued Prince Rupert on a permanent basis.
Sam Dapsevich is a spokesperson for the Department of Transportation.
We're not going there right now, primarily because we don't have the crew resources to support sending the Kennecott there. But we are committed to reopening that port in the future when we have resources available to do so.
A Facebook post written as a news release by a user named Robbie Marianson on October 1st stated staff and management at the Prince Rupert Terminal were clearing out personal effects because the terminal was closing for good. It wasn't a real news release, and the post has since been deleted. The post caused an uproar on the social media site and prompted official responses from Southeast State Legislator Representative Dan Ortez and the Alaska Department of Transportation. In short, it's not true. The Prince Rupert Terminal is not closing for good, but it is unmanned right now. Dapsovich says in recent months the terminal had been maintained by part-time contractors, but their contract expired. He says the Marine Highway System is working to sort out a new contract. The fake press release stated the terminal was being shuttered because the Alaska Marine Highway Management allowed critical international safety certifications to expire for the Kennecott. It's one of the largest ferries in the state's fleet and one of the two that's able to dock in Canada. The other is the Matanuska, which is in major overhaul. Without enough crew for the Kennecott, both ferries have stayed tied up in Ketchikan for months. Some Kennecott certificates, which are required for international travel, did expire in April. Those certificates, called SOLAS certificates, are overseen by the U.S. Coast Guard. But Dapsovich says that doesn't mean the Kennecott SOLAS certification itself is expiring.
The ship was built to SOLAS standards, and we maintain it and keep that safety standard in place. So there's no license to expire or anything like that. The ship has its certification.
Dapsovich says it's standard practice to wait to renew SOLAS and other sailing certificates until a ship is out of the yard and back in service, since many of the certificates only last 12 months. A Coast Guard spokesperson confirmed that it's common for ships to wait to request renewed certificates until out of the yard. All in all, the post from Robbie Marianson contained elements of truth. The Prince Rupert Terminal is unmanned because of an expired contract, but not because it's being abandoned, the state says. The Kennecott is in the shipyard and doesn't have updated certificates, but that's standard practice for ships that aren't in service. The weak service on the route has left people stranded in recent months, but the Alaska Department of Transportation continues to publicly state it intends to resume service to Prince Rupert in the future. The Marine Highways website states the Kennecott is expected to return to service in mid-November, although that doesn't necessarily include a Prince Rupert stop. It's unclear why the individual who created the Facebook post published it like a press release. Marianson, who owns the Facebook profile, did not respond to a request for comment. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaska Seaplanes announced yesterday that it will close its Petersburg and Wrangell locations. Alaska Seaplanes is the only commuter airline service in competition with Alaska Airlines in Southeast Alaska. General Manager Carl Ramseth says the decision did not come lightly.
The difficult decision that came after much deliberation, months and months of deliberation. We think this is probably the hardest decision I've been involved in personally in my 30-plus years of aviation in Southeast. It was not our plan to leave.
The closure will take effect for passengers on October 31st and for cargo on October 28th. There are currently twice daily flights between Petersburg and Juneau, which allow residents to take day trips to the capital. Those will end along with the triangular flights that connect Sitka, Wrangell, and Petersburg three times a week. Alaska Seaplanes began serving Petersburg in April of 2021 and Wrangell in May of 2022. Ramseth says that when Seaplanes start serving a community, they have a 3-year plan to allow time to build up a presence in the town. This is only the second time Seaplanes has pulled out of a community before that 3-year period is up.
With Wrangell and Petersburg, it's just, you know, bottom line, the traffic, the ridership, just didn't grow as we had hoped.
But low ridership isn't the only factor. Alaska Seaplanes also rely on carrying cargo. That brings in more business in smaller communities like Tenneke Springs and Klowoc because they are not serviced by Alaska Airlines. Ramseth says that isn't true for Wrangell and Petersburg.
One challenge that Wrangell and Petersburg has compared to most of our other communities is we don't carry any mail or UPS, and we don't have so much cargo into those communities, so that affects the bottom line, too.
Seaplanes has two part-time employees in Wrangell. Petersburg has one full-time and two part-time workers. all were informed of the closure last week. Ramseth says that while there are jobs with the company for them in other communities, all employees want to stay where they are. The closure is indefinite, although Ramseth says he would love to be able to serve Wrangell and Petersburg again in the future if factors change. It's 52 degrees and overcast this afternoon. You're listening to KTOO.